I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. What's important to you about your community, your state? What do you prioritize when it comes to your money? What about when it comes to the time you can give to civic, volunteer, or religious organizations? How do you figure out where to go, how to get time off work, and how to pay when you need health care, whether it's knee replacement or just a regular physical? These are questions that many of us think about all the time, either in the abstract or in the very real everyday of our lives. But sometimes it can be hard to see our own realities reflected in the news we hear. And it can be difficult for reporters to access that kind of information, too. When does anecdote tip into representative sample? How can people who cover the news determine whether or not they're on the right track when it comes to stories about dairy, school, taxes, the economy? Trying to get at that nut is one of the reasons VPR and Vermont PBS have teamed up to create a project called This Land, The Changing Story of Rural Vermont. Between August 26th and September 9th, Braun Research, under the direction of Rich Clark, polled more than 800 people around the state, of all ages, genders, and in all regions, to dig deep into the issues that affect Vermont, make it unique, pull it into the greater national story, and make us feel joy. And now the results are out. You can see them at thislandvt.org. They're really fascinating to look through, and that's what we're going to do today on the show. We're going to take an overview approach to tease out some of the interesting things about the poll results. And then the rest of the week on Vermont Edition, we'll go deep into specific issues. Joining me today to talk over what we can learn from this poll are Rich Clark, professor of political science at Castleton University and former director of the Castleton Polling Institute. He directed the polling for the Rural Life Survey. And Paul Costello, executive director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development. Paul and Rich, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Jane.
So, you know, Rich, I think we do this every time we do a poll, but it's worth doing again because I think it is something that I mentioned things that people think about every day. Polling is not one of them. So can you just describe how a poll works and what the methodology was for this poll?
All right. Well, your intro gave a really good overview of why we do the polling to get that representative look at the, we're looking at the forest now and not necessarily each tree. But we did this poll with a random sample by telephone, using cell phone samples and landlines, 60% cell phone in this case, and 40% landlines.
What a difference that is from a decade ago.
Absolutely. And we're finding that, we need the cell phone samples, of course, to reach younger adults. We use a method for reaching younger people in landline households by asking for the youngest male living in the household. It's an area which is usually underrepresented in polls.
Can you just stop and explain that?
Absolutely.
Why are young men so difficult to get a hold of?
And that's a great question. It's not because they're more likely to refuse, but they are so difficult to reach.
May or may not be a surprise to people, depending on their perspective.
Yeah, and we even in the cell phones, there are a lot of people now who are trained not to pick up their phones unless they recognize the caller.
And you think young men do that more than young women and older men and women?
I'm not sure. It's just that when we've used methods before that didn't do that, we always found we underrepresented young men. So we've tweaked our methods over time to adjust for that. And by and large, this sample, even though it's weighted to represent the population more closely on demographic data, these weights are very small. And we have really worked hard to get as representative a sample as possible. We've also stratified in advance by county so that each county is proportionately represented so that we have a good geographic mix of the Vermont population.
And in all of these questions, we're going to go deep into some of the questions that were asked and some of the areas of focus, but in all of the questions, when you're looking at this on thislandvt.org, you can actually break them down by subset. So you can break them down by age if you want to see how respondents of different ages compare to one another on these questions, or by region. And you don't do it by each particular county, but you broke them up, I think, into four regions, right? Four or five regions?
We typically have broken them down by four regions. This time around, we broke it out by five to take the Northeast Kingdom that looks a little different from the other three northern counties. so that we can get a more accurate picture there and that they don't get lost in those, the Grand Isle, Lamoille, and Franklin counties.
Yeah, so the subsets, if you were to look at this survey by the regional subset, and again, I know this is confusing if this is the first time you're even hearing about the survey, you can see all of these results, and then you can also break them down in different ways. And so if you're looking at the regional breakdown, you can look at how Chittenden County responds to these things, how the Northeast Kingdom responds, and then Northwest Vermont is considered Franklin, Grand Isle, and Lamoille County. Central Vermont is Addison, Orange, and Washington counties, and Southern Vermont is considered Bennington, Rutland, Windham, and Windsor counties. And so those breakdowns can be really interesting and illuminating when you look at some of the results in this poll. So, sorry, go on, Rich.
No, absolutely. And the in the past, we had used northern counties together simply because the numbers are so much smaller there, and we didn't overweight any of the smaller counties.
You know, weighting is really important because if you have a small number that doesn't actually isn't a representative sample of whatever, whether you're talking about young men or whether you're talking about people of color, whether you're talking about people in a region, if you weight it really heavily, then you might get skewed results. And you're saying that in this poll, things are not weighted very heavily.
Yeah. And even so, we always keep our trim our weights so that we're not taking anybody and they're not the value of five people, say, you know, the most it'll be is it's close to two is the heaviest weights. The lowest weights are close to about 0.75. So the weights are not skewing any subset of the sample by any large measure.
We can talk more about some of the ways that this survey was conducted and some of the methodology as we go on. But listeners, I want to invite you to first of all, have a look, if you want, at thislandvt.org. You can do it while you're listening and sort of look through all of these results, or you can do it afterward. I actually sort of quizzed my spouse this weekend and gave him some of the poll questions to see how he'd respond and then said, oh, you know, look, we're in the central Vermont in Addison County. You're either in line or not in line with, you know, people in our region. And it was actually really illuminating to have that conversation in our family. So I encourage you to do that. But in the meantime, listen to this show. Let us know what questions you have about polling methodology and how you think about some of the questions that we talk about in this survey, whether it's your own personal economic future and how available an extra $1,000 is to you if you had to pay for an emergency expense right now, how you value the landscape, why you even live in Vermont. What is the most important thing, the most important reason you're here? It's kind of difficult to think about those things sometimes and illuminating maybe in your own personal life. Paul Costello, do you see value in this kind of polling data, a survey like this?
Absolutely.
Good, because we would have to kick you out if you did.
No, I think it's a great time to do it. I think particularly the emphasis of the show on rural Vermont is wonderful. I think rural Vermont is in a major transition. We hear constantly about the demographic challenges, the loss of youth. I think we're at a fascinating point, though, where there's a response to that that's happening. Like that, to me, the real story isn't the decline of rural Vermont. It's the interface between the challenges we have and the dynamic work that's going on in communities and by local leaders throughout the state of Vermont right now, which makes it a really exciting and interesting story to cover. So I'm really delighted that Vermont Public Radio is taking the lead on this.
How do we actually define rural? I mean, you know, within Vermont, I think people often, whether they're sort of jokingly saying it or really meaning it, you know, think of Burlington and Chittenden County as the urban center of Vermont. But people in Los Angeles or, you know, even Kansas City would laugh at that idea. And yet within Vermont, you know, if you live in Lincoln or if you live in Newfane, that feels really different, perhaps, than living in Burlington or Brattleboro. So How are we thinking about this idea of what rural
There's
Vermont
so
is?
Many different definitions. But it's interesting. You use Chittenden County versus the rest of Vermont. But Hinesburg and Westford and Richmond have wonderful character. Even Huntington is in Chittenden County. So there's not like a monolith of Chittenden County. And the interface between Chittenden County and the rest of Vermont is really creative. And part of the reason people want to be in Chittenden County is because it's part of Vermont, right? It's not another country.
Despite the jokes.
Despite the jokes. That you know, when you think about Vermont being the second most rural place in the United States next to Wyoming, the connection, you know, some people define the number as 20,000 people, which makes Rutland a borderline rural community, and it makes five or six towns in Chittenden County urban. But when you think about it as a demographic spread, more Vermonters proportionately live in smaller towns than in other places. And that dynamic is something that lends a character to the place. It also means that when we analyze demographics, we find that it looks like Vermont is older than most rural than the rest of the country. But if you're in rural Wyoming, you took a shape of Vermont and dropped it on rural Iowa or rural Wyoming or rural Kansas, you'd find that our statistics are actually a lot better in terms of economic dynamism and demographics. It's because we're the second most rural that we have this aggregate, and we don't have a lot of cities like some of the western states do, where that diversity has moved to, where younger people have moved. So it's a fascinating story, as I think, in terms of the demographics. And, you know, demographics and then economic sectors and then this poll tell a story together that I think would be a rich one to evaluate over the next month with you.
Yeah, I can't wait. And Rich, I just want you know, I have talked about this, I think, on Twitter, the idea in terms of federal demographic evaluations, the idea of rural is really just the absence of being urban. I mean, there isn't really even a definition of rural when it comes to census data. It's just, if you're not urban, okay, you're that other thing, which we define as rural. And I think sometimes in Vermont and probably in other rural communities around the country, it feels that way. It feels like you're just the absence of something else that's better defined. And so one of the things that I value and appreciate about this is really focusing on rural Vermont as a whole, all of Vermont, but also as communities that are broken down, and to say, you know, what is the value of this within your communities, and really focusing on this idea of what it means to be a rural state.
Right. Well, by census definition, we have one metropolitan statistical area, and that includes Chittenden County, Franklin County, and Grand Isle. But as Paul pointed out, there will be number of people living in Chittenden County who don't see themselves as living in an urban area. They see farmland. They see, they don't see neighbors. And for them, their life is very much rural. But the census has to use a broad brush.
Nicholas is calling in from St. Albans. Hi, Nicholas. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just want to say thanks for the discussion. Listening in, wanted to pull back up perspective and look at a broader scope. And I'm a linear thinker and a psychology major by trade, so I appreciate, you know, kind of quantifying data and making sense of it. I think it's very necessary. But as I'm going through my advanced education as a 35-year-old, I've had plenty of experiences. You know, I'm learning that, namely in the social sciences, as they try and replicate research methodology, that they're not having a lot of success. And I think it's important to understand who's making the poll. And I don't want to go into, you know, that we should all be careful, but I think a big element of it is what is the message, and are they truly independent authors?
Nicholas, I take your point, and I'm going to put this to Rich Clark. And, you know, certainly this is something that we've been thinking about and seeing in, particularly in political polls. And, you know, you look back to the 2016 election, and people were predicting, you know, a presidential election that went one way, and then the results went another way. And, you know, not all of that is because of bad polling, certainly, but you know, there's a lot of skepticism about polling and who's conducting the poll, and even in the way questions are asked, as you well know, Rich, it, you know, the responses can vary depending on the tone of the question.
That's
so
right.
How did you go about this, and who's Braun Research, and who are you? Who are you, Rich Clark?
Well, let me, first off, I want to take Nicholas's point, and I think he should be skeptical of polls. I think we should. That's I don't want us to be cynical and dismiss them right off, but that's, VPR has done a great service by putting all the data out there. They put the methodology out there. It's a transparency. And I think if there's no transparency in the polls, you might be better off dismissing the results or at least looking for some other corroboration. That being said, who is Braun? Braun is a data collection group. They have phone centers across the country, in Nebraska and Tennessee and in Princeton, New Jersey. And they did the data collection for us, but we along with VPR and I, we designed the poll. We took a number of questions that came from a poll that was done by NPR, Harvard, and Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that looked at life in rural America and replicated those and then added our own questions towards the end of it and used our own demographics. The social science, sometimes they call the natural sciences the hard sciences, social sciences the soft sciences. I think we're the hard science. You know, we can't put our subjects in a lab and control for all the different factors that influence their views and viewpoints. And so if you're going to be looking at social science, you have to be aware that there's a large error term, and we have to deal with that. We minimize error to the greatest extent possible in our data collection and in our analysis. And all of these data have margins of error on either side. They're all projections, they're estimates. But I think they get the conversation started, and I think they're the best estimates that we can do based on where social science is today.
Let's go to Dave, who's with us from Waterbury. Hi, Dave.
Hey, happy to just ask a question. I think it's related to the validity of some of the polling. I've been struck by Vermont being called a rural state versus a place like Montana or Wyoming or Utah or Nevada, where you could drive 3 hours for real to get to a grocery store from your ranch, versus the deepest, farthest away corner in Vermont. In 3 hours, you're in a major urban area that you can't get to from, say, anywhere in Montana in the same amount of time. So I think there's some real differences there that show up in cultures that aren't necessarily reflected in talking about urban versus rural.
Yeah, Dave, I take your point, and I this is a really interesting part of the poll or the survey to me, because, you know, certainly we're not trying to compare ourselves in this poll to other rural states, as you mentioned, where it can be really difficult to get to places. But that's actually one of the things that was asked in here, which I've never seen asked in another poll about Vermont. So, for example, question 16C, is it a problem for you to get to your doctor or the place that you go for most of your health care, not including the emergency room, but so if you need to get to your GP, is it a problem? And so then there are answers, and I'll just give you the total results here rather than break it down by community or age, but it's a major problem for about 5% of the people who were polled to get to their regular health care place. A minor problem for about 6%. So really, we're looking at about 10% of people who say it's a problem for them to access basic health care by getting to the location. And for 89%, they say it's not a problem. You know, in terms of getting to the closest hospital, it's not a problem for about 88% of people. And then we even look at, is it a problem for you to get to the place where you get most of your food, the grocery store? About 3% say it's a major problem to get to a grocery store, and a minor problem for 6%. So for the majority of Vermonters, it points to what Dave was saying. The majority of Vermonters have no problem getting to, driving to, biking to the place where they get their food, or even to their child's school. About 93% of people say it is not a problem for me to get to the place where I drop my kid off for school or where my kid goes to school. That's an interesting part of the question, just to be able to have those answers. Other ones are also interesting in terms of, have you been able to access health care? Could you pay for a $1,000 problem? What is the thing that is most valuable to you about living in Vermont? And we're going to get to some of those, as well as some interesting things to me, like 35% of respondents were unemployed. A very small percentage of respondents had children under 5 in their household, and a minority had children under 18. So some of the questions around childcare and education can be informed by that. And we're going to get into some of that as we continue. We're also going to get to this question of 6% of people say not having high-speed internet is a major problem. I would say I am among them. So 6%, you know, can feel like it's a very large amount if you're among a member of the 6%, but maybe a smaller percentage than we talk about in reporting frequently. Today, we're getting a sense of this land, The Changing Story of Rural Vermont. It's a collaboration between VPR and Vermont PBS, and we have support for the project from Vermont Community Foundation and AARP Vermont. You can find the complete data set of the Rural Life Survey at thislandvt.org. And this hour, we're pulling out some of the interesting or illuminating answers and statistics that have come out of this poll. We'd love to know what questions you have. And if you've been hearing some of the reporting on this project already, or you're looking at the results right now, you can tell us how you see these issues, the value of the working landscape, the importance of local schools, whether or not you have $1,000 to spare if an emergency comes up, and whether you've been able to access the health care you need. We're talking today with Rich Clark, who's a professor of political science at Castleton University, and he directed the polling for the Rural Life Survey, and with Paul Costello, executive director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development. We got a note from Anne who says, it seems that there are few young families included in this poll. Was this the case? And then Anne goes on to say, you know, as a mother of an autistic child, I'd like to state that Vermont is way behind other states in policy and funding for special needs and individuals with developmental disabilities. But there's not an option for discussion on this matter in the poll. Many families with children with special needs are leaving the state as a result. Paul Costello, can you talk a little bit about families with children? And as I mentioned before, it's a very small amount. I think it's like 5% of people in the poll have children in their household who are under the age of 5. And only about a quarter of the respondents have children under the age of 18. So it does seem small, especially given the importance of conversations around the state when it comes to property taxes and small local schools. What do you think?
Well, the demographic is a serious issue for Vermont going into the future, as it is for many rural areas. I'd love to hear from Rich about the, you know, how the polling was done, whether that was influenced, because a lot of people are, younger people are using cell phones. They may not have landlines. It may be harder to reach young men for that reason, as well as younger people and younger families. But it's a serious issue, and the more rural you get nationally, the more that's an issue that's fundamental. It's fundamental to our school reform efforts and how we respond. Every community that we come to, and we go in as a community facilitator with basically a blank slate. What do you want to talk about in your community? What's most vital for your future? Everywhere we go, people want to talk about how do we attract and support young families to be here, to revive our school, to build sort of the lifeblood for the future of our community. And everything else follows from that conversation. They may end up defining, building a sewer system in their village as the fundamental thing. They need that to build housing. They need that to attract entrepreneurism. And they do that because they want to have a next generation of dynamic children in their village center. So everything fits together. And I think that this is fundamental. It's one of the interesting things to me is that this and the wealth and poverty issues are so dramatically broken out within counties. So you have towns like Stowe in Lamoille County that's going to have a very different set of statistics than Morrisville or Eden, also in that county. And likewise, as you look around the state, there's Manchester and then there's Pownall. There's places that are towns that are market towns that are relatively successful, that are centers of the tourism economy, maybe centers of small tech development and others outside of Chittenden County. And then there are towns that may be providing services and goods to those communities, and then peripheral towns that have the most challenging demographics as they look to the future and sometimes the most challenging economic situations. So that texture is something that's hard to capture at the county level, but it's an important background, I think, to understanding these issues statewide.
Yeah, and just before you weigh in, I mean, it's interesting. Some of the questions that are asked in this poll are, do you think that members of your community have the same values you do or different values? And do you think there's a diversity of values represented in your community? And it's interesting to see that as a question because, you know, I was trying to think about my own community. How would I think about that question? Do people in my community reflect the same values that I feel I have? Or is this, you know, this is a community where there are a lot of different values that are represented and equally valued? And so that was an interesting part of it. But to this question of young people and children, if, like Anne, you are the parent of a young child, you might look and say, and I'll correct myself, it's 8% of people who were respondents in the poll have very young children. And if you look at that and say, only 8%, well, so the important things that are important to me aren't going to be represented in the poll. And it's, again, this idea of, well, this is the whole state. And mm-hmm. that is the demographics of the state.
Right. And I think everybody around the table here would recognize that raising children in rural areas presents problems of its own, and it's worth a closer look at. Had we all the resources in the world, it'd be terrific to oversample that. But as we did a statewide sample, it should be no surprise that the number of households that in our poll that had children under 18 was 25%. The census tells us that the number of households in Vermont with children under 18 is about 26%. So it's about there in the state, and we're hitting it pretty well. As far as, you know, what Paul had mentioned about the cell phones, we have best estimates from the National Health Interview tells us that about 40% of Vermont households today are cell phone only. So we have used, we have used 60% of our interviews on cell phones so that we're sure that we're not missing a large swath of the state population.
You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about the sort of percentage of people who responded to the poll and the representative sample that they are of the Vermont population, where, you know, only about a quarter of Vermont households have a child under the age of 18. But then when you look at the question of how important is it to provide more childcare options in your community, a huge percent, 46% say it's very important. And 30% say it's somewhat important. So we're looking at more than 75%, more than three quarters of people polled say it is very important to provide more childcare options in our community. And those cannot all be people who have children under the age of 5 or even school-aged children, because, you know, we know that only a small percentage of those were included in the poll and are included in our demographics. But a very large percent of Vermonters say this is very important to our community. A large amount of Vermonters say it's important to me to have vibrant schools in our community. And, you know, I would just put a little asterisk around that word community, because that might mean different things to different people. For some people, that might mean in my town, I want a vibrant school. And for some people, it might mean in my regional community. And that's not broken down in the poll. But speaking of schools, we got a note from Shoreham, a listener in Shoreham named Ruth, who says, I hope that Vermont Edition, as well as other venues, will talk about preserving our town schools. Our school has grown 40% in the last 6 years, yet it's on the chopping block for closure or consolidation because our large consolidated district board does not seem to value town schools and is out of touch with the town sentiments. Our town is growing and thriving, but all that will be drastically changed if our school is closed. And let's go to Johanna on this, who's calling in from Newfane. Hi, Johanna.
Hi, Jane. I'm calling in the same vein about schools and the economy and the interrelationship between, young families who want to settle in Vermont but find that the schools are lacking in some way or other. And we have a small Union High School, and the enrollment has been dropping, and some of the local elementary schools are facing the same problem, and there was talk of even closing the Union High School. And, you know, I think about families who might have to drive their children from Wardsboro down to Brattleboro or something like that, which is such a long way. And also, you know, some of the more well-off families will just simply move away from Newfane to maybe Manchester, where they can go to Burr and Burton or other towns, and it's just really hard to see that happen. And I wish there was more emphasis put on funding schools, but that comes all the way from the federal level to really, you know, give us enough money for what we need to do.
So. Yeah, Johanna, and I encourage you to listen on Friday. We're going to be talking on Vermont Edition. All week we're talking about issues in the poll, but on Friday specifically, we're going to be looking at some of the areas where politics and the legislature and political organizations, as well as individuals working within their communities, can have some impact on potential solutions to the challenges that have arisen in Vermont and that are reflected in this poll. And certainly property taxes, school funding, and local schools are among the issues that are really contentious and really need some political solutions as well as community solutions. But to what Johanna was talking about and Ruth in Shoreham, Paul, what do you think? I mean, we talked about schools in the poll. Not surprising that people value their local schools in their communities. But anything else that really sort of sticks out for you that talks to what these listeners are saying?
No, I think this is an issue everywhere you go in rural Vermont right now. People are fearful. The most the smallest towns, the towns that have nursed and held a school together and have a familial feel in that school, are particularly distressed because they feel the great social cultural loss. And it's a little bit of that economic question, too. When you talk about the daycare, preschool, and how important that is to so many people, there's a general recognition of the fundamental role of preschool and to school in your economy and attracting the young families that will be the dynamic center of the future of your community. So all that's very real. We've gone through a serious political process that we're still in. It's very dislocating. And it also connects with the consolidation of economic energies that's happening nationally and internationally in metro areas, which is affected even in the smallest way in Vermont within counties between towns that are relatively well off and those that aren't. I think also fundamental to a lot of the poll is that the fact that, you know, you look at the very first question on your quality of life. You know, Vermonters are one of our best bragging points is we have a tremendously high quality of life. We all have a lot of, we're very safe here. There's a lot of safety. We have a very beautiful bucolic environment. But when you look at the 78% of Vermonters who feel excellent or good quality of life here, it breaks down to 91% of people who've got a four-year degree feel that way versus 67% who feel that way who have a high school diploma or less. People who aren't well educated and may, you know, there's a correlation between that and income, are struggling in today's economy. Their quality of life isn't as high. And you look at that as a thread through this entire series of analysis of public values. They feel less optimistic. They're more likely to encourage young people to leave. And the more recent data is saying that it's not the elite fleeing, the wealthiest people fleeing Vermont. It's working people because they don't have daycare, because they're commuting longer distances. When you look at the structure of modern life, if you're not, one of the other questions that was fascinating in here is that 40% of people reported a lot of trouble or a fair amount of trouble meeting an unexpected $1,000. That's a great question. So good job, Rich, on having that one in there. But $1,000 could completely build a disequilibrium in your budget and in your family. And what does that say about the wealth division that happens? We see it with the smallest towns and the most peripheral towns having the fewest economic resources, some of the most challenging assets. There are heroic people working there very, very hard to bring these communities forward, to bring people together. And the fiber of democracy and that action is absolutely inspiring. But the odds in our economy are moving the ball down the hill to the regional centers and then obviously to nationally to urban areas. I don't think that's forever, but that thread is all through here. Some people talk about two Vermonts, those who are succeeding and those who feel left behind. That 6%, and depending on what income you're at, it's larger than that for broadband. We don't want to leave those people behind. We don't want to leave people at the end of the dirt road without an opportunity to participate in the global economy. We also need to look at places where we have success rather than just challenges. And how do we translate those successes across the whole scale of wealth in Vermont for a vital rural future? And we have a lot. I don't want to keep talking because I know there's lots to talk about, but there are areas where we're seeing real success and that are going to be fundamental opportunities for the future of rural.
One of the things that's illuminating to me about this poll, and again, it's about being able to break down, to look at the results as a whole and then break them down by subset. And so you can break them down by that educational subset, and you can break them down by regions, you can break them down by age. And so you then are illuminating different subsets of people. And I think it becomes harder for people to lump all people together by one thing that we assume. Like, I think there's often an assumption that life in the Northeast Kingdom is harder. But if you look at the breakdown, you see some illuminating things in the Northeast Kingdom. For example, people in the most rural regions of Vermont have more people to rely on if they need some help with something. And people in Chittenden County have fewer people. And so you see these breakdowns that illuminate other things and that can illuminate what it's like for people who are living in poverty or who are living with a lower education level, where they may be swallowed up by just the general number of people who are optimistic about the future of life in Vermont. And so when you break them apart, you can see these people more clearly. And I think that's really helpful.
Right. Rich. Yeah. And we know that the in-migration patterns are heavier in areas outside of the Northeast Kingdom. So they probably do have a lot more resources. I also want to say something about these small numbers, 6% without high-speed internet.
Well, 6% who say it's a major problem. It may be more or fewer, yeah.
Fair enough. But that's 25,000 people. That's 25,000 of our neighbors who are not having that sort of access. And that's just adults. And think about children and the need for high-speed internet access for school today. These things matter. 11% who said that they did not get health care once when they needed it. That's 50,000 people, roughly. I mean, it's actually a little higher than that, about 56,000, you know, is our best estimate. But that's our neighbors, and those are people living among us. So in most polling, we take 11%, 6%, we dismiss it because that's a small minority. But when we start thinking about, you know, access to resources, those are significant numbers.
Yeah, and significant as well in the follow-up questions. So it's not just could you access health care, and 11% said, no, I could not access health care that I needed in the last year. And then it goes deeper. Was it because of transportation? Was it because there's no doctor available in your region? Was it because you couldn't pay for it? And those, again, are illuminating responses as we think broadly as a state, as our legislators look at the state, and as journalists look at the state and trace down and sort of track different routes and different avenues for stories. It's certainly going to drive coverage here at VPR and at Vermont PBS, and that's what we're going to be talking about next with VPR News Director Sarah Ashworth, who's going to go a little deeper into how we're going to be using these poll results. But for now, Rich Clark, Professor of Political Science at Castleton University and Director of Polling for this Rural Life Survey, and Paul Costello, Executive Director of the Vermont Council on Rural Development. Thanks very much to you both. Appreciate your time here.
Thank
Great
you.
To think with you.
The survey results we've been hearing about today are just the first part of our larger This Land project with Vermont PBS. Over the next few weeks and even further out, we'll be exploring the changing story of rural Vermont. We hope this information will help give us some innovative new ways to think about news and issues that affect Vermonters. And joining me to talk about the project is VPR News Director Sarah Ashworth. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Jane.
So you've been through this whole survey, and we've been talking about it here on this show. I'd be curious to know what struck you from the results.
Well, I think I will stick with the really top line results, because I took from this the idea that two-thirds of Vermonters report that they're optimistic about the future of Vermont, which is great news on some level. And then there are so many ways where you can look more deeply at what that really means in different areas and different people's backgrounds. But also then trying to square that, with about 35% of people saying that an 18-year-old should probably leave the state. And so I think we have reporting that we could do about leave forever, come back. You know, what do people mean by that? The other big thing was related to dairy, which I know you talked about, and John Dillon is doing some more reporting on, but 93% of respondents saying that dairy is important to the state's identity in the future. And how does that fit with all the reporting that we hear from John Dillon about the crisis on dairy farms and the fact that about 100 dairy farms have ceased operation in the last 2 years or so? So what does that mean when people identify so clearly with dairy for the state? So those were the two big things, I think, that I read from the poll.
And we'll be talking with John Dillon tomorrow on that very issue, because it is an interesting cultural touchstone for Vermont, and then the economics of dairy, you know, don't always jive with what people think of as the state or its values. You know, Sarah, this is emerging now today. It's the launch date of This Land, the project, but this has been something like 8 months in the making. Can you explain how it started and actually why we're doing it?
Well, I think it started with this idea, and Paul Costello just mentioned this idea of two Vermonts, and wanting to understand that better and to have a sense that rural communities are changing in the state. So how could we do some reporting to look at what that is, and how could we stay with that over the long run? So we also had this sense that being a rural place is so important to Vermonters as a way to identify themselves, but then also around the country, it's how people identify Vermont and Vermonters as well. So we wanted to explore that more. We thought we should also just start with getting some data, which hasn't really been done that much. So we thought we'd start with this rural life survey, having a strong sense of how Vermonters feel about some of these issues, being able to compare it with some national numbers as well. And then we really hope that lawmakers and other journalists and in our own newsroom, town leaders can use this data. And I think we thought that, you know, between PBS and us, we're storytellers at heart as well, so we could really hear about how people feel deeply about some of these issues.
You mentioned that you hope lawmakers, academics, other journalists will be able to use it, and that's partly because all of this data is open source. People
Absolutely.
Can find all of the subsets
online. Yeah, it's
online.
Up there right now.
You know, I think sometimes people assume that VPR and Vermont PBS are either the same organization or very closely aligned. And maybe we are in our civic values and our idea of being a public service, but we're not at all the same organization. We are completely separate. So this collaboration must have taken a lot of work.
Yes. As you mentioned, you know, it's a good 8 months of planning. I think at one point we were counting more than 18 or 20 meetings or so that have happened. But you're right. We both approach our work, I think, with the same mission, that we want to serve Vermonters. We're doing it not for the profit or benefit of anyone. And I think for VPR, we bring a solid team of newsroom reporters. PBS is so gifted at telling stories visually. And together, we thought we could do something bigger than we can do individually. And we know that a lot of people love VPR and Vermont PBS and use both of those services. But we also know that we can reach a lot of people who aren't familiar with VPR right now. And Vermont PBS can reach a lot of new people as well. So we knew we could reach more people by
working together.
Well, plus
doing this is actually expensive. And so you're dividing
Absolutely.
The costs.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit then about what we're going to be hearing and seeing on TV and how what's actually going to come out of the reporting on this in the next few weeks.
Okay. So Vermont Edition, every day this week, will be a discussion that Jane will lead and Peter Hirsch will lead on Friday, looking at a different part of the poll. And we really want to hear from a lot of you as well during those shows. During Morning Edition and All Things Considered, our reporters are going to have stories that flesh out some of the poll and survey results. Then on Vermont PBS, right before 6 o'clock every night, you'll catch All Things Considered host Henry Epp doing the News Minute focused on survey results. Friday on Vermont PBS, Vermont This Week, will focus on with a team of journalists looking at the survey results as well. All of this is up on thislandvt.org as well throughout the week. Next month, John Dillon and a team of producers at Vermont PBS are going to bring you a video documentary series looking at the future of farming and visiting a couple of farms. And this is one of those pieces of content that neither organization could do on its own, but together we're working to be able to do that. That airs November 18th on PBS. Our podcast, Brave Little State, is taking on one of the questions related to this survey as well. And then the theme music, the really cool theme music that you hear with this series all week long, is by VPR's own Peter Engish as well, which is a cool sound.
And I'll also mention another event that we have coming up on October 29th next week. We're going to be putting on a free event in Randolph. It's called Rural Stories on Stage. And it includes stories from five people who live in that area and whose lives reflect some of the issues and challenges that have emerged from the poll, including some of the real joys about living in this region. Their stories are very compelling. It's sort of like a moth radio hour. I'm going to be moderating that event and pulling some more stories out of the storytellers. And that program will be broadcast on Vermont PBS on November 5th and on VPR on November 7th. But you can actually be live in the audience on October 29th. Go to vpr.org to get your free tickets. Sarah, you think this is going to inform the way the newsroom operates moving on into the future in months and years from now?
Oh, absolutely. It helps give us some focus. And I think we realize there are challenges to report on. But then there are also there's reporting to do about what we do about it as a state and solutions that we find.
Sarah Ashworth is VPR's news director. And as we've mentioned, you can find all parts of this project and our ongoing reporting as it continues to come in on TV, radio, and the web at thislandvt.org. Sarah, thanks for the update.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, so tomorrow we're going to keep looking at some of the issues that have emerged from the Rural Life Survey we're talking about, and we're going to dive specifically into a sense of community and talk about the isolation and loneliness some Vermonters report feeling and how to combat that. What are the ways to actually prevent more loneliness and isolation, and where is it happening? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Send questions and comments to Vermont Edition at vpr.org and listen live to this program tomorrow at noon. Our show was directed by Jake Rusnak. Our production team includes Matthew Smith, Sam Gail Rosen, Karen Anderson, and April Tian. We had production assistance from Noah Cutter, and our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. VPR's digital producers are Meg Malone and Elodie Reed. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.